very familiar song. And if you were reading along in your Bible with me this morning, you would see this notation on top of the psalm. And I just want to make this comment before I read the psalm, which many of you will really know in your heart. And it speaks to me about the fact that Almighty God, the ruler of the heavens and the earth, the one who is in charge of all things, has chosen to work with people like me and you to bring his gospel to the ends of the earth. And you know, from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible, this is what's evidently clear, that Almighty God has chosen to use us to tell forth his glories. So before I read the psalm, this is the notation on top of Psalm 34. Now David was one who, he was the shepherd boy, he was the king of Israel. The Bible calls him the man after God's own heart. But listen to this prelude. A psalm of David. Well, that sounds okay. Regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech. Now, the King James puts it like this. You could probably say it with me if you're familiar with it, and I'll come back to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in thee, O God. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of his fears. I love the poetry of the King James. I'm going to read it now out of 34. But when I think of this psalm, I think about the amazing grace of God. Listen, that he's called you and me, human beings. Human beings who at times do great things and at times have wonderful successes. But human beings who at other times know that we're human and know that he's God. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Are you feeling helpless today? You can take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Has God ever answered a prayer for you? If so, would you say amen? And he freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed. And the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and he defends all who fear him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you godly people, for those who fear him will have everything that they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? If you'd like to live a long and prosperous life, would you say hallelujah? Ah, there's a lot of you that want to. I do too. Well, then keep your tongue from speaking evil. And keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. I like this. Search for peace and work to maintain it. You know what Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all, would you please say all, their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted today? Is something on this Thanksgiving Sunday just breaking your heart? God is close to you today. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Now, here's what the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say this. The righteous person will face a few troubles. It says the righteous person will face many. Would you please say many? The righteous person will face many troubles. But the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will ever be condemned. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, it's the grace of God that has us in this house. It's the grace of God that has us standing in this place. It's the grace of God that has us lifting up our voice to Jesus Christ in praise. It's the grace of God that gives us a heart and a desire to hear from your word. And so, Father, I pray on this Lord's Day that indeed you would draw near to us. And God, even the thanksgiving that you've placed upon our hearts, God, that you would ratchet it up in the children of heaven today. As the sons and daughters of the living God, I'm asking you, Spirit of God, that you would just ratchet up in our hearts thanksgiving. That something that happens today, whether it's a song that's been sung or a song that we're going to sing or a scripture that's been read, or Lord, whether it's through the preaching of your word, or maybe it's just going to be somebody who meets us in the foyer before we exit this place on this Thanksgiving Sunday. I pray for each of us as the children of God that you would ratchet up thanksgiving in our hearts, because Jesus, you lead us in triumphant victory, and we're so glad to be in this space. We're so glad to be in this place today. May our lives give you glory and honor and praise, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. And the church said together, please be seated. Amen. Well, it's great to see you all here on this Thanksgiving Sunday. And now, when I say Thanksgiving Sunday, you know that that today is the world's Thanksgiving, right? In Canada, at least. If you live in Canada, this is when the world celebrates Thanksgiving. But we had our Thanksgiving last Sunday, and I think our spa Thanksgiving is greater than anyone else's Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving. Did you have a good time last Sunday? Wasn't that amazing? And I really, I want to say thank you to this congregation. I want to say thank you to each one of you who laid aside earthly things for heavenly purposes. And if you're not familiar with what we do here at Southside Pentecostal Assembly, it's been a tradition long standing in this congregation that the week before this date, Thanksgiving, that we take heart of the goodness of God in our lives. And this church has a wonderful missions program. We support right here, but to the very ends of the earth, we support 21 missionaries and agencies carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I always look forward to, like, last Sunday was one of our high days. I want to say thank you to you, because you know what happened last Sunday? This church gave around $70,000 in the offering last week on Sunday. Isn't that something to thank the Lord for? Now, about $42,000 of those dollars went into missions, and about $28,000 of those dollars went into the general fund. In a few moments, we're going to be receiving the Lord's tithe. And that's that first 10% that goes into the general fund. But on a day like Spa Thanksgiving, people reach into their pockets and they lay aside stuff. They lay aside earthly stuff for heavenly purposes. You know, it's interesting what happened to me the week before Spa Thanksgiving, because I was preparing to bring my gift to the Lord, and I knew that I had to have my all-season tires replaced. And so I went to the garage, and I put it into the garage, and I got a phone call from the garage. And I found a really good deal on my all-season tires. Four tires installed on my RAV for $650. That's a good deal. So I was pretty excited about that. And I knew they were going to call me after they put the tires on. And I got a call from the garage, and they said, Doug, we just need to let you know that your front struts are shot. And I thought, oh, I said, okay, how much will that be? And they said, that'll be $1,350. And I thought, wow, $1,350 plus $650, that's like $2,000. I said, okay, just put the wheels back on the vehicle, and thank you very much. So I went, I picked up my vehicle, and I do have a mechanic that's very honest, and I haven't told you where I went, so I'm not going to say that. But I called my mechanic, got a couple of struts, wound up getting my struts put on my van for just about $800. So 8 plus 650 is 1450, way better than 2000. But isn't it interesting? On the week that I was preparing to bring a special offering to the Lord, that I got hit with a $2,000 bill. So you know what I said today? And you may have not been here last week. And so today you can, if you weren't here last week, we would love it if you helped us in that special offering just market missions on, and so I've got my tithe on this envelope, but I said kind of to the Lord, but to the devil too, I said, listen, I'm going to give a tithe, but I'm also going to give another missionary offering this week. And so I want to encourage you just to do that. If you weren't here and you want to get in, you can still get in. But I want to tell you why it's so important for us as a congregation to stand behind our missionaries. Now, last week in our SPA Thanksgiving service, you received our SPA missions brochure, which details all of the missionaries that we support. And it's very important that we not only support them financially, but we pray for them. And I want to read you a note that came to me in March, just the end of March this year, from one of our missionaries, Les and Lois Paulson. Now, Les ministers in what are called RAN nations, so restricted access nations, nations where it's actually sometimes dangerous to go and teach about Jesus. This is the letter I received from Les Paulson, March 24th. Dear friends, this is just to let you know that Les returned early from Argentina yesterday, because the night he arrived in Argentina this week, in the middle of the night, he was assaulted and robbed by two men who broke into the house where he was staying. It was terrifying. They were dressed totally in black and wearing baklavas over their faces. They struck him on the head and bound him before robbing him. They threatened him, kept hitting him with a large knife, trying to get him to tell them where the money was. When one of the robbers took off his mask, it seemed that he was intending to kill before he left. However, we know that the Lord was there, calming and caring. In fact, Les told them he was not a businessman or a tourist, but a pastor. He didn't have much money. He was praying psalms and softly singing the song, "My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love," while they were looking for more money. The Lord spoke to his heart through that song that he needed to connect with the thieves and show God's compassion to them. So he told them in terrible Spanish, God loved them and he did too. And he took the hand of one of them and said, "It's okay. Everything will be okay." In the end, when they finally left, he had lost his computer, backup hard drive, iPhone, passport, watch, wedding ring, the $400 cash he had with him for travel in Argentina, and all of his clothes except one pair of pants and a t-shirt. After the police and ambulance came, he was taken to hospital where he was thoroughly checked out, needing stitches for the cut on his head, and he is okay physically. Later, he went to the police station to file the report necessary to get a one-way passport to be able to get home. The whole event was quite traumatic. The paramedics, medical personnel, police, and especially the Argentinian personnel at the Canadian Embassy were wonderful and caring. The brothers and sisters there were also very upset at what happened. It does not represent anything normal there at all. We're not going to let this hinder what the Lord has planned for our ministry with them. We thank you for your prayers and your care for us while this awful event has shaken us. Les is resting at home now, and we are sure everything can and will return to normal for us and for God's calling through us as the emotional impact of this trauma gradually decreases. Love to you all, Lois and Les. And so I immediately responded to Lois and Les. Lois and Les, you are always in our hearts, especially now at this time. We are standing with you in Jesus' name and rejoicing for the answer and prayer for Les's safety. Doug, Wanda, and your SPA family. And so after our SPA Thanksgiving this week, I received this letter from Lois and Les. "Hello, our dear friends. I can finally write to let you know that my time of getting over the trauma from the assault in March finally seems to be at an end. And this is why we need to pray for our missionaries. Listen. The symptoms of trauma, stress, nervousness, nightmares, fear, waves of dread, raw emotions, depression, loss of passion, and enthusiasm." Did you hear those symptoms? The symptoms, I won't say it again, of trauma, stress, nervousness, nightmares, fear, waves of dread, raw emotions, depression, loss of passion, and enthusiasm have subsided enough that by God's grace, I'm tentatively re-engaging in our calling to train new global missionaries. Last month, I took my first trip overseas, so September. He went in September. I took my first trip overseas since the incident in March, and happy to say, I did pretty well, thank the Lord. I will send a full update in the next few days. I haven't received that yet. Along with some good news about how our Life for the Nations team is growing, getting ready for the next chapter, and where we anticipate serving over the next several months. And then he talks about some attached pictures that he had sent. And I replied immediately, God bless you, Les and Lois. So glad that you are back in the saddle. You can be assured that we are standing with you in prayer and rejoicing in your progress. The Lord is your shield, your light, and your salvation. In Jesus' love, Doug, Wanda, and your SPA family. I also emailed Murray, our international director to World Missions. And I told Murray, I said, thanks, Murray, for coming. Want you to know that our SPA family gave $70,000 last week, 22 and 28, just as I mentioned to you. And I want to say to you, Southside Pentecostal Assembly, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you on behalf of your pastors, your board members. I want to say thank you on behalf of all of our missionaries. If you're a guest with us today, I don't want you to feel any pressure to give in the offering. But if you're part of our SPA family, I want to encourage you. I'm just giving a little bit more to missions today, along with my tithe. And I just want to do that to say thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I can do that. Ushering team, please come. And we're going to wait on you this morning for the Lord's tithe and for your offerings. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, before we give, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is to you whom we pray. You are the Lord of the harvest. And Father, I want to thank you for such a faithful, giving, loving, caring congregation. I want to thank you for people who are willing to set aside earthly stuff for eternal treasure. And Lord, I just pray today that as we bring your tithe and these offerings, that you will return unto each one a mighty, mighty harvest of righteousness. And I ask it in the strong name of Jesus. And everyone said together, amen. Thank you, friends, for your faithfulness in giving. The Lord bless you today. Thank you so much, choir, and we are going to begin a three-week series on being victors, being victorious in Jesus Christ. And just before we do on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I just want to give thanks to those who serve in the congregation. You know, there are so many people that serve us in the congregation. When you came in this morning, I'm sure that whatever door you came in, you were handed a bulletin and you were greeted. We just had ushers who served us. There are people serving today in the nursery. There's people serving on the second floor for our grades one and up. We have our kids' church is going on, Empowered Kids Ministry. We have people serving in our kids' church area. We've got sound people serving up there. I mean, there's just people that come in and fold bulletins. There's so many people that I, as your pastor, I want to say thank you to that service. And we've got a couple of new servants. Brad and Narissa, you look so good in those t-shirts. I want you to come up here. We have added another layer to our greeting and our ushering teams. Give this couple a hand here. They're one of our first impressions team. And what a lovely looking model pair we have here. And Narissa, can I have you just stand like that? And Brad, would you turn this way, please? Yeah, there we go. This is the front and the back, ladies and gentlemen, of the First Impressions team. And it says, I was made for this. And here it says, Grow SPA for Life. Now you can turn back, thanks. And the purpose of these folks is this. When people were coming into our church after our service began, in other words, they were coming in a little bit later on. You guys can be seated, thanks. When they were coming in a little bit later on, sometimes they would, yeah, thank you. And we're thanking all of the folks that serve us here at SPA, the musicians and everybody, the singers, the whole, everybody. Just thank you. It's good to say thanks. But just to let you know, there were people, they would come into the foyer maybe at, I don't know, maybe at 9:35, and nobody was there. Like maybe first-time people. So these folks will be there to catch those people that are coming, you know, after our Heritage Hour has begun, after our Sunday Morning Alive has begun, and even they serve up until 11 o'clock. So even after the 10:30 service starts, for people that are coming in later. And so just appreciate that new ministry that we're adding to the good things that we already do. And I also want to say a special thank you to those who do decorations. Don't you love these decorations, these Thanksgiving decorations that are here? And Christine Opgenorth, I want to say a big shout out to you and Al. Al is your faithful assistant, I know that, but God bless you, Christine. Oftentimes, you'll come in, you know, you come into the church property and you'll see the flower pots are arranged. Well, Christine and Al and others, they have that gifting, and we just are so thankful that, you know, we have these people that do these good things. So, I want to say this about Thanksgiving Sunday, because we're beginning now this series on victors. We're talking about being victors through Thanksgiving. For the world, Thanksgiving Sunday is a day. And I don't know, some of you may have had your Thanksgiving dinner on Friday, or maybe you gathered your family on Saturday, or maybe you're going to do that today, or maybe, and oh, by the way, no mix tonight because we have a Thanksgiving, so we're just going to relax the evening service tonight. But don't not see, that's a double negative. Do please see that we've got pie in the mix coming the end of this month, and so let's be a part of that. That's the last Sunday of this month. But tonight, no mix. But for the world, Thanksgiving Sunday is one calendar day. Whenever they have the dinner, and that's it. But it's not that way for the Christian. And we are being victorious as God's people through thanksgiving. I'd like you to stand with me, please. And I'd like you to read out loud 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, as it comes up on the screen here. Let's read this together, please. Let's read it together. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So understand that Thanksgiving on the world calendar, it's a date. But for the Christian, Thanksgiving is something that allows us to be victorious. For the Christian, Thanksgiving is something, and I like this graphic, it's something that comes from our hearts. It's something that comes from the inside to the outside. And so my prayer today as we look at this whole being victorious through thanksgiving is, as I prayed even earlier, that in our lives as God's children, thanksgiving would be ratcheted up a notch. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, would you raise your hands with me, please? Heavenly Father, you've said that you want men and women to lift up holy hands everywhere without wrath and without disputing. And so, Father, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we just lift up our hands as a sign of receptivity, as a sign of saying, God, we are open. And Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for, but we thank you, God, that thanksgiving in the heart and in the life of a Christian is not relegated to a day. It's not relegated to a season. It's not relegated to a weekend. It's not even relegated to our circumstances, Lord, but it's relegated to who you are, our loving and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray today in the life of every child of God that you would ratchet up in our hearts what it is to be thankful in Christ's name. And everyone said together, please be seated. So we're beginning this 3-week series on victors, and I want to talk about being victors in thanksgiving. I'm going to take the word thanks and pull some principles out of God's word, and so you can follow along in the notes that are in your bulletin. First of all, we are victors through thanksgiving in our thinking. In our thinking. Everything that comes into our lives, unless it's an accident or something completely unexpected, comes first through the mind. It comes first through our mind. And so God wants us to be victorious in our thinking. And the truth about our thinking is this. We live in a world that is filled with ungodly thinking. You don't have to go anywhere. You can turn on your television and you're going to find ungodly thinking. You can click on the web and you're going to find ungodly thinking. You can go into various places in our world and you're going to find ungodly thinking. There are two streams of thinking. There is earthly thinking and there is heavenly thinking. There is carnal thinking, and there is eternal thinking. So Paul writes to the Romans this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Listen, we live in the world. We're surrounded by it. But don't copy the behavior and customs. Now, where it says don't copy, the Greek word there, it's like a word that would be used for a funnel. And it means don't be squeezed. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. Don't be squeezed into the worldly way of thinking, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Would you please say this with me? Change me. Change me. And God needs to continually change the way of our thinking because it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so the first way that we are victorious through thanksgiving is in our thinking. And here's what the child of God can do that people who don't know Christ yet cannot do. The child, as children of God, we can choose. We can make the choice to think on the best things. Here's why. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that when we were born again, not only did God place a new heart in us, so a heart that was open to his understanding, but God placed a new mind in us, a mind that cares about spiritual things, a mind that has a hunger for the truths that are in God's word. And so we can make the choice to think on the best things. One final thing, fix. Would you please say fix? And circle that. You know what? When you have that word fix, it's like my van that I brought in this week. I thought I was getting tires. I also needed struts. You know why? Because my struts were broken. And the human response is broken. The natural human way of thinking is broken. The natural human way of thinking is flawed. This is what God said about our human thinking. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. So one final thing, fix. Would you please say it again, fix? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, can I ask you an honest question? As you live life in this world in 2019, do you ever in your life come across anything that is not right or not pure? Do you ever come across anything that is not lovely or not admirable? Do you ever come across anything in your life that is not excellent? Do you ever see anything that is not worthy of praise? Has anyone ever seen anything like that? Don't think on that stuff. Fix your thinking. I mean, if we think on that stuff, we're like people who don't even know God yet. Don't think on that stuff. Keep putting into practice everything you heard from me and everything you saw me doing. And look what happens when we fix our thinking. Then the God of peace will be with you. When our thinking is fixed, when our thinking is as God wants it to be, we experience the peace and the presence of God. And here's what's true about thinking. Thinking is not a one-time decision. It's not like when we come to Christ, he gives us a new heart and a new mind and we say, oh, I'm just going to be a new thinker. No. Thinking is something that we need to stay committed to. As we travel down the road of life, you know what's going to happen? We must stay the course with our thought life, because you'll be going down the right pathway and all of a sudden something's going to come up in your life. All of a sudden you're going to have to face a decision. You're going to either go to the left or you're going to go to the right. And Christian, listen, we want to go to the right. We want to make the right decision. And so with our thinking, we must stay the course with our thought life. And not only will we have peace, but look at what God says. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed. Would you please say fixed? God fixed me. That's the commitment that we make with our thought life. We don't look at other people and say, oh, their thought life is bad. No. We look at the word of God and we say, God fix me. God fix my thinking. Make my thinking what it needs to be. Help me to think your thoughts. Because that's the first way that we are victors through our thanksgiving. The next letter in that word, think, is H. Now, the world doesn't value this at all, but God values it very much. Humility. Humility. Speaking of the journey that Jesus Christ made when he left the glories of heaven, and when he was born of the Virgin Mary, he took on human flesh. It describes in Philippians chapter 2 that condescension that God made. God becoming man, God taking on human flesh. And then it says this, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests. Now listen, of course, God intends us to look out for our own interests. That's normal. Of course, God is very clear. He intends us to work. He intends for us to care for our families. He intends for us to plan, like he intends for us to do that, but not just for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. If we're going to be victorious through Thanksgiving, we're going to have to be those who are humble. I love the mission statement that is on our bulletin. If you can say it with me, would you say it? Because this is taking an interest in others too. This is what our mission is as a church. Loving God and leading people to the living Lord. And I'm so glad that so many of you can say it. But that needs to be fixed upon our hearts. That's why we live. That's why we function. It's not just thinking about ourselves. It's thinking about others. And I like the definition for humility that really comes out of this scripture. Like, humility is not abasing yourself and say, I'm bad, I'm horrible, or whipping yourself. No, no. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is understanding God's called you to an eternal purpose. Humility understands that there's a great harvest on this road that we're traveling. And the way that we're going to travel down this road is the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is denying self. But when we deny self and when we follow God's plan for our lives, God brings us an abundant harvest. And God does great things through us. So if we're going to be victors through thanksgiving, we have to be people who are committed to be humble. And as I've said, the world doesn't value this much, but God values it a lot. In fact, this is the utmost of God's required courses. Has anyone here ever had the pleasure of buying a new car? Anybody ever had that joy? Nobody? Nobody's ever bought a new car? Okay. You know, I've had the privilege of buying a new car twice in my life. The first year was when Wanda and I were married in 1982. And we bought a Nissan Sentra. I mean, it was brand new. It was purple. We were just so excited to buy this car. And you know what it had in it? Nothing. I mean, it had an engine, but everything was plastic in that car. The seats were plastic. The floor, we didn't get floor mats with that car. The floor was plastic. The seat was plastic. The dashboard was plastic. Everything, but it was brand new. I mean, it was nice, but it had no options. No option, no air conditioning, no power windows, didn't even have an automatic transmission. It was a 5-speed. Yeah, we love that car. We did. We drive that car until it bled and died. Now, in 2010, we bought a brand new RAV4. I mean, it was awesome. And I'll tell you something about when we bought our RAV4, because we knew, you know, we were, and here's how long our RAV4, the one with lost the struts and I got the new tires on, I want you how long that's going to last us, until Jesus comes, we're praying. But it's a beautiful vehicle, and so we bought this RAV4, and when we went, we were thinking color, we were thinking not only what do we want, but what do we need, because I mean, you know, if we wanted, we could have spent just scores of money on that RAV4, but I wanted a V6. They came in a 4-cylinder and a 6-cylinder at that time, not anymore, but so we got a V6. That was an option. My wife said, "We will have air conditioning, Doug." I said, "But honey, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool in Edmonton. We will have air conditioning, Doug." So we have air conditioning. We have power windows. I mean, our seats are not plastic, they're cloth. They're nice and warm in the wintertime and they don't crack. And we have carpets on the floor. When you go out and you get to choose something, some things are optional, right? Some things are required. With God, humility is a required course. Micah puts it like this: "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good." And this is what he requires you to do. Do the right thing. That's what Christians want to do, isn't it? That's what God's placed in our heart. We don't wake up wanting to do the wrong thing. We wake up wanting to do the right thing. And by the grace of God, we do. Do the right thing. And I like that it doesn't say to be merciful. It doesn't say be merciful. What does it say? It says to love mercy. How many of you love it when God is merciful to you? Yeah? Well, you know what? God wants you to love being merciful to other people, not just to give them mercy. He wants you to love it. You know what that means? That when somebody does you wrong, that when somebody does you something bad and they don't deserve anything from you except maybe some little look the other way or even something worse than that, a bad word or something, love giving them what they don't deserve. Love mercy. The Lord showed you. Do what's right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. There's only one way you're going to walk humbly, and I put it up there. You're going to have to get down like this. You're going to have to get down on your knees and let God do some work in your heart. This is the utmost of God's required courses. If we're going to be those who are walking humbly, not only is it a required course, but humility is the resolution that gets God's attention. Now, in 2019, every year when the clock rolls over from December 31 to January 1, all over the world, people go, help me here, happy Has anybody ever made a New Year's resolution? Okay, what kind of resolution have you made? Somebody tell me. Lose weight. Yeah, how many have done that one? I'm not doing that anymore. I have to try that. Any other resolutions? Eat healthy. Yeah, anyone else? Save money. That's a good one. Okay, any other resolutions? Help who? What? Fred? Rest. More rest. Now, here's the reality. We make these resolutions on December 31, January 1, and what happens by January 8? Nothing. Man, it's terrible. Because, you know, you say you want to lose weight, and everywhere you go, there's food, 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 food everywhere. Right? But that's not what resolution means. The word resolution means resolute. You know what it means to be resolute? It's not Happy New Year. It's not some kind of a pipe dream. No, to be resolute, to make a resolution in your life, it means having a fixed purpose. To be resolute is to be determined. To be resolute is to be bold and to be firm and to be unshaken. And this, if you make a resolution that, oh, I'm going to be proud, I'm going to be the best, I'm going to be the greatest. No. If you make a resolution before God that I'm going to be humble, you know what? That really gets God's attention. And that's not a resolution that you make on December 31, January 1 of 2019. That's a daily resolution. If you make that resolution, this is what God will do for you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He'll lift you up in honor. If you do what is in your level best to be humble, God will raise you up. If you do in your level best to say, Lord, how can I be your servant? God will bless you, and you will be a thankful person. The third letter in that word thanksgiving, if we're going to be victorious in thanksgiving, is A. It speaks of our actions, what we actually do. Let your light shine. Let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I want to just take a little survey here. In the last 10 years, for those of you that are living in Edmonton, Alberta, and I see some guests here from other parts of our nation as well. So if you're here from another part of our Canada or even from another part of the world, in the last 10 years, have any of you seen Jesus Christ literally walking around downtown? Just checking. Me neither. Like, because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Because Jesus Christ has completed His work. So I have a question for you. If people are going to see Jesus Christ at all in this world, who are they going to see them through? It's us. You are His church. You are His body. You are the bride of Christ. And so let your light shine. If we're going to be overcoming in thanksgiving, our actions are going to reflect Jesus. So let your life and your loves lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the things that you commit yourself to do lift up Jesus. I'll tell you something. I know that when we're taking in $70,000 on one Sunday, that there are people that are putting this into practice. There are people that are saying, you know what, I'm not going to buy a new car next year because I can drive this one for two more years. I'm going to invest in the Bank of Heaven. And God has said that you cannot outgive me. God has said, I dare you. With the tithe, even that first 10%, you know, some of you, maybe you haven't learned to give that first 10% to the general fund of the church that you attend. God has said, I dare you. I dare you to prove me in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out so much blessing you can't even contain it. And so may God do that in us and through us. Jesus, speaking of going to the cross, said this, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Now, Christ died once for all. That was over 2,000 years ago. Guess what, Christian? He's calling us to die now. He's calling us to die. He's calling us to die to self. He's calling us to die to lesser things. He's calling us to die to actions that humans that don't know Jesus would normally do. I mean, there's things that people that don't know the Lord normally do. God's calling us to die to some of those things, and it's different for all of us. That's why I'm not telling you what things those are. God will tell you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And God will tell you what to do. God will direct you in your actions as how to spend your life and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We are victorious in thanksgiving. The next letter in that word is N. and N speaks of nourish. You know, salvation is not just a spiritual thing. Salvation is for the spirit, for the mind, and for the body. Salvation is for the whole person. And when we talk about nourishment, Paul writes this way to the Colossians about our lives. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Now, speaking of nourishment, do you know that there are billions, if not more than billions of dollars, that people are buying in supplements? There are stores that just sell supplements. That's all they sell. People go there and they pay $20 for this bottle and $14 for this juice and $14 for that powder. And, you know, they put these supplements into their body. And whether they work or not, I don't really know. But I'll tell you something. We need to supplement our faith if we're going to be nourished. We need to put supplements. We need to choose to make our choices in life that have supplements that will cause us. That word nourish, it means this, to feed and cause to grow. Here's what's true about the Christian life. No matter how long you've been serving the Lord, you know there are people that have come to know the Lord just in the last month. That's wonderful. You know that it's a brand new life. Some of you have known the Lord for 50 years. But here's what's true for every Christian. There's no such thing as standing still. There's no such thing in the Christian life. Either you're going forward or you're slipping back. And God wants us to make these choices to nourish our body, our soul, our spirit, to supplement ourselves. How do we do this? How do we nourish ourselves as Christians? Well, we need to take advantage of all of God's promises in His Word. We need to understand that it's going to require some extra effort on our part. Now, you might have heard of this scripture. If you have, finish it for me. Work out your own salvation with fear and... Yeah, but it says this next, because God's working in you. God's at work in you. You know why you came on this Thanksgiving Sunday? Because God's working in your life. You're here because God is at work in you. God is working in you, giving you both the will and the desire to serve Him. And so we need to understand that if we're going to be nourished, now, babies, it would be terrible. I mean, for all of you moms that have had a baby, wouldn't it be horrible if you had your baby and then you know, the baby 2 weeks old started crying in the nighttime. And you yelled from your bedroom, "Feed yourself!" Now, when someone first comes to know Jesus, I mean, they need believers around them that will help them get the milk of God's word into their spirit. They need people to encourage them, people to build them up, people to show them, hey, can I help you do this? And to suggest, can I encourage you in your Christianity in this way? But when we're adults, like, wouldn't it be crazy if, you know, if you were married to your husband or for your wife for like 20, on your 25th anniversary, this is what you did every morning. Baba, baba, baba. I mean, that's not normal. We need to make an effort, friends. Listen, if we're going to be nourishing our hearts, we need to make an extra effort. We need to take advantage of God's promises. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul said, or what Peter said, wrote rather in 2 Peter. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Underline that in your notes. I can't make that for anybody except me. I can't make that for my wife. I can't make that for my kids. I have to make every effort. And here's the supplements that God has for us. Now, check out these supplements. This is quite a list. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Can I ask you a question? Is it easy to be perfect just like Jesus Christ? Well, that's our goal. We're supposed to supplement ourselves by looking at Jesus and being just like Him. Supplement your faith. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to need your help here to finish the scripture, because I did not have room to put this on the slide, and it just fits on the screen there. But when I say moral excellence and pause, I want you to say moral excellence back to me. So we're going to try it. Ready? Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and... That was not bad. And... That's getting better. And One more time. And? Now, see, we need, if we're going to be nourished, we need to do something. So this is a good illustration of what we need to do. Are you ready? Here we go. Because this will determine whether we get out at noon or 4 in the afternoon. Here we go. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises, supplement your faith with a... Well, here we go. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and with knowledge and with self-control and with, no, not patient endurance. That, no, no, go ahead. We got to go back to the beginning. Here we go. So what when I say it and, you're going to repeat it because I didn't have room to put it on the screen, but this is scripture. This is the Holy Bible. Ready? Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and with knowledge and with self-control and with patient endurance and with godliness and with brotherly affection and with love for everyone. Give yourself a hand. You did pretty good. I mean, I didn't want to stop you again because some of you were still on the forward word. But here's the truth. Listen, you can't go to the next step until you do the first one. Yeah, it's hard to be morally excellent with Jesus. Is self-control an easy thing for you? Can I tell you one of the things that I don't like about Edmonton, Alberta? I don't like big Alberta trucks, big Alberta pickup trucks. That when I'm driving down a two-lane road and the speed limit's 60 kilometers an hour and it's pretty busy, a big Alberta truck comes and sits on my bumper, and they were coming up at about 75K, about 15K over the speed limit. Has that ever happened to anybody else except me? Do you know what I want to do to that big Alberta truck? I'm not telling. And I don't do it. I just pull over. But how many of you know that self-control, like that's a supplement. It's not easy to take. Like if we're going to have self-control, we need to stretch into that. And to be honest with you, I think it's enough to have endurance. But that's not what the Bible wants us to have. The Bible wants us to have what? Say it. Patient endurance. Like, isn't endurance enough, God? No, no. You need patient endurance. And love for who? Love for. So we need, I'll tell you something, friends. We need to make an effort if we're going to be able to be nourished as Christians. If we're going to be growing as Christians. The K in thanks refers to kindness. Kindness. Now, the truth is, I can be kind to those who are nice to me. I can be kind to those who treat me right. But this is not God's call on the Christian. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone, please say anyone, who offends. Now, I want you to circle that word, offends. That's the one you have to be kind to. I'm not going to ask you if anybody's offended you because I know all of us are in that place. In fact, some of you are going to have to sit down at Thanksgiving dinner with that family member today or tomorrow. Be kind. Be kind to them. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Well, I do know this. Jesus Christ died for you and me, so be kind to them. Make it your choice to be kind. Because I'll tell you something, friends. We are even to bless those who curse us. Now, the world can live this way. You scratch my back and I'll scratch. Yeah. You know, if somebody's going to do, or if I could refer to the American election for a moment. How do I wrote this down here. A quid pro quo. No quid pro quo. I wanted to look that up. What does quid pro quo mean? Well, it means this, trade-off. I'll do this if you do that. It means swap. Hey, I'll give you this if you give me that. It means a return. I'm going to give you this on the condition that you give me that. No quid pro quo, God is referring to in our kindness. And speaking of the American election, can I bring it a little bit closer to home? Does anybody know what's happening next Monday? Our election. Listen, Christian, it's your obligation to vote. It's your obligation to research who stands for what and to ask God, God, who should I vote for? And to go out next Monday and vote. And whoever gets in, then it's your obligation to pray for them, not to complain. We are to even bless those who do us wrong. Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight both to the evil and the good, and he lets his rain fall on the just and the unjust. Kindness. And then finally, we are victorious through thanks. The last letter is through our speaking. Through our speaking. James writes about this very small part of our anatomy called the tongue. And he's not writing to those who don't know Christ, because the truth is, those who don't know Christ can't bridle their tongue. But he's writing to those of us that know the Lord. And he says, brothers and sisters, this tongue of yours, sometimes it praises God and it curses those who are made in God's image. Watch out. And then he says this, so blessing, that's the praising God part, and cursing, that's not saying swear words, but that's talking about other people in a way that doesn't glorify God or slander. Blessing and cursing come out pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Remember I told you that thanksgiving comes from the heart? When God saved us, he gave us a new heart. And so we can actually choose to speak the right words, and we must understand the importance of spoken words, because it's out of the abundance of our heart that our mouth will speak. Jesus said this, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Here's what's true for us as Christians. When we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, he is going to examine us for every idle word that came out of our mouths. Now, like I said, when I was talking about that Alberta truck driver who's just pushing me, you know, to ram the person in front of me, I'm not speaking those words that are, the words are there. They're in my mouth. Like, I've got words to speak. When I sometimes run into a circumstance and a situation and somebody does something to me or to someone in the church or to somebody that I love, those words are on the tip of my tongue. But I need to understand the importance of the words that I allow to be spoken into the air. And we must choose, Christians, listen, we must choose to welcome the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because every idle word that comes out of our mouths, we're going to answer for. So here again is the goal, if we're going to be a thankful people. Do not let any, would you please say any, and circle that in your notes. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Would you read with me, please, that last line? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of a force. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. I want you to imagine with me, if you were walking into a room, and you just opened the door, and when you opened the door, you heard people, there was a group of three people, and you heard them, they didn't see you coming in, but you heard them talking about you, and they were saying something that was untrue and very unkind. What would you do? You know, many of us would just kind of draw back. We just let the door quietly close. And see, if we're not careful with the words that come out of our mouths, we'll grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We'll grieve him, but if we are careful with the words that come out of our mouths, we will be welcoming the Holy Spirit of God to come and to fill us in our lives. Would you stand with me, please? We are victors, friends, through our thanksgiving. And let's say this text. Let's say this text once again together as it's coming up on the screen. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today that we are victors through thanksgiving. And God, when we think about that word thanks, I pray that you'd help us in our thinking. God, help us in our thinking to be being transformed by the renewing of our minds.
God, when I think of the H of thanks, Lord, would you help us to be a humble people? That's not normal for me. It's not normal for any woman or man, but it's normal for the God-following Christian. Help us to walk in humility, Lord. Thinking of others is better than ourselves. God, would our actions reflect the fact that we serve the living Lord Jesus Christ? God, I pray that we would nourish our souls, that we wouldn't expect somebody else to do it, but we would walk into those disciplines as men and women of God, and we would be strengthened spirit and soul and body. God, would you make us to be kind? I pray today around the Thanksgiving meal or tomorrow that kindness, maybe where there was going to be bitterness that was going to flow, that word, that kindness would flow. And God, I pray that you would help us to be kind, even to those who use us and despitefully don't want the best for us. And we want to thank you, Father, for the speaking that proceeds from our mouths. I remember when I was in the Anglican Church, there were many things that sit with me in my spirit. But this was one thing that the priest would say that sticks with me. It was a benediction. May the words of my mouth, it was a scripture as well. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, would you take our speaking and just make it sweet. Let us speak words of life, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, we want to thank you that it's because of your love that we are forgiven. It's because of your love that our hearts are free. And we lift you up, Lord, in this place with songs of freedom. Forever we're changed because of your love. Remember, no mix tonight. You have a great Thanksgiving Sunday. But before we go, can we put our hands together, please?